This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, this is Activity Quest, the podcast packed with things to do this half term. I'm your host, Sean, and in today's episode, I'm going to be telling you all about a brand new game that we've made called Pumpkin Watch, which is a way for you to enjoy Halloween safely. There's more on that later, and I want you to get everyone you know involved on that one. Producer Adam is going bouldering and climbing, and he's chatting to Andrew from the warehouse all about that. And we're giving you things to do this half term, no matter where you are in the country and what your restrictions are, from visiting museums to going on real life treasure hunts too. And there's been a name change on Mini Motley Farm. It's now the Mini Motley Sanctuary, and Anna Louise is going to be here to tell us all about it. Every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about and find out what's happening near you. And Adam's been at it again. He was at Bristol Zoo last week. Let's find out where he is today.
I am outside the warehouse in Gloucester. It's a climbing centre, and I'm here to chat to Andrew.
I'm privileged enough to be director at the warehouse, and I've been here about 18 months now. The building's been here a lot longer. It's Victorian, and it's been a climbing centre for 26 and a bit years now.
Andrew's giving me a tour of the warehouse. We start at the very top of the building in the bouldering room. But before we get going, there's one very important thing that can help with climbing. In fact, it's probably the most important thing. Something to hold on to.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm the head route setter at the warehouse. So I set all the routes and the boulders that people climb here. I've been climbing since I was 7, when I actually had my birthday party here, which was actually 18 years ago this year.
Now, a route setter is someone who fixes something called holds to the wall. They're bright colours, they come in loads of different shapes and sizes and styles. Josh had a better way to explain it, though.
They're the way that you get from the bottom to the top, and depending on the shapes and the grip size, they can be split into grades, which is how you kind of determine your progress in climbing.
You've got a range of circuits around here. Each has got a tag on, and that shows you how difficult they are. So they start with VB to V0. So anything you don't see that's orange is going to be easy, and it progresses all the way down to fairly hard, stroke impossible. The tag shows you where the lowest starting point for your hands. So you get on, and you've got to make your way to the top, just using orange grips.
Yeah. So Andrew right now is climbing up a wall that's probably 45 degrees, a bit like a monkey. He's kind of holding on. Ah! And there you go, he's fallen off.
Do you want to give it a go?
Yeah, let's give it a go. So this is
use the orange.
The highest point my hand can be.
Use that one as well, which I didn't, to be fair.
Where am I going next?
You would kind of try and bring your feet up, then you've got a handhold there, and you've got some handholds around the side. It's about technique, not just about being the tallest or the strongest. So often the kid that gets picked last at school will be the kid who tastes their first kind of bit of success here, because it's more about weight distribution, and it's mental as well. So you might have to swap where your foot is. You might have to stick your foot out for balance. You might have to go up and come down to go back up again. But it's not a straightforward get on a treadmill and do 30 minutes and switch off.
Bouldering is completely safe. There is a massive crash mat. In fact, the floor is made of crash mats. It's pretty much one massive crash mat. And you move horizontally rather than vertically. So you move across the room rather than up. It means that you're never far away from the floor, which is probably a good thing, because I fell off a lot.
See, I want to go up there.
No. Bouldering done, we climb down a flight of stairs in the warehouse. Andrew shows me a digital climbing wall, and then we enter into what looks like a very small room. Until I look up, and I realise it's 11 metres high, every single wall is a climbing wall, and oh no, Andrew's holding a harness, and I'm about to climb to the top. Of course, this is what the warehouse is known for. Google climbing wall, go on Wikipedia, and that image is this room. Now, I'm not afraid of heights, and oh, Activity Quest, you've put me through my paces, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. Unlike bouldering, there is a harness. You're attached to a big reel right at the top of the climbing wall. It's called an auto belay. You might recognise that word from last week's episode. And that acts essentially as a brake. So if you fall off the wall, it'll lower you to the ground fairly slowly.
And give that a pull down so you can feel it's retracting in. Okay. There's no rules about how you start at all here. I would say if you can, the end of your foot is always a really good bit to move because it's easier to swivel either way. So that's it. That's almost perfect. I would say try and get your left foot on the one your right foot's on.
On here?
Yes.
And then dangle.
And then I would try and get your right foot onto there. There you go. And that's almost half of the game. It's to get to where you are and stand up. Okay, so
there are different routes in climbing. They go 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on, and then A, B, C. I'm on 4B. It's one of the easiest in the room. Route setter Josh tells us what separates them.
The angle and the hold size, generally. So if it was a 7 on that exact same angle that you've just climbed, all the holds would be tiny. So if you look at your fingers, probably half a pad, so about halfway down your first pad on your finger, all the holds would be that kind of size.
Are you ever tempted to just make something incredibly difficult just for fun? Something that perhaps only you could do, or something that perhaps only the most experienced climbers in the world can do?
I have done. That 8B has been there for 4 or 5 years. It's been done by one person. The problem with setting anything really, really hard in here is because it is not that high and it's not that steep, it would just have to be on absolutely tiny holds, and it just wouldn't be very pleasant to climb. So I try and avoid setting anything harder than 8A or 8A plus, just because it becomes very unpleasant to climb.
Back to me on the wall.
I know it's what the easiest, but not many people would actually come up having never done it before and get to the top first time, I would say. And he is doing quite well. You think he may actually get to the top. You would... Well, that was fantastic. You very, very nearly made it.
I think probably the biggest achievement of the warehouse is the amount of people who never thought about climbing before that it's introduced, and we're really passionate about continuing that. We have around about 200 kids a week coming in on developmental climbing courses. We have lots of people coming for one-off fun visits, and we have adults every week who are getting into this fantastic sport, which really is unparalleled and unrivaled.
And just like that, my visit was over. The warehouse, you know what, it might actually be one of my favorite activity quest events. Yeah, it's hard work, but such good fun. I kind of want to go again. Back to you, Sean.
So this is the website which you got to go to find out more. It's the hyphen, as in the little line, warehouse.co.uk. so the little line, warehouse.co.uk. UK. And you've got to book in advance, and because it's a physical activity, you will have to fill out a little waiver online before you visit as well. They've got all the kit there you need to get started, and remember, whatever you do and wherever you do it, we want to hear about it. And one of the ways you can do that is by leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. A Magical Sloth Girl on Apple Podcasts wrote, "Do you still read all of these?" Yes, we definitely do, Magical Sloth Girl. We read every single review, so keep those 5 stars coming, please. Philly Boy Smith loved our spooky Halloween episode, which you can listen to right now. Just scroll back in your podcast app and look for the words Halloween Special. And PJ also says hi. Hello to you, PJ. You can also get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquests. Send us your thoughts as a video or as an audio clip. And you can upload your photos too, and we might use them in future episodes. So let's find out what's happening across the UK.
The Weald and Downland Living Museum is in Chichester and turned 50 years old in September. They are still welcoming visitors daily. There's a programme of special half-term activities, including a pumpkin trail, and you can also explore the museum in the fresh air and see the sheep, heavy horses and more. The museum is all about how people used to live and includes workers' cottages, shops, farmhouses, barns, a watermill, blacksmiths and even a church. Wealddown.co.uk, that's WEALDDOWN.co.uk. That's where you can book your tickets. Next up, we have Raw Dinosaur Adventure Park, which is throwing Dippy's Halloween Days this half term. Activities include a terrifying trail to find the blue skeleton part, live Dippy shows, spooky Halloween tales, and a spine tingling expedition with the Dynamite Gang. It's a must visit for any little dinosaur fans in and around East Anglia. Raw, that's with 2 R's, rawdinosauradventure.co.uk is the place to go. There's a link in the show notes. And if you're in lockdown and looking for something that doesn't involve going to a venue, why don't you try geocaching? Sean did it a few episodes ago. You can use your phone to find containers hidden by other people in the real world. Find out how he got on by listening to the episode from the 21st of September. It's got the word geocaching in the title. You can hear him chat all about it to Chris from Geocaching HQ in Seattle, America. Or just download the Geocaching app to get started. More at geocaching.com. That is geocaching.com.
So yeah, I would thoroughly recommend geocaching. I did it a few episodes ago and it is really, really good fun. Remember, the rules on what we can and can't do are changing every week, and they also vary depending on where you are in the UK. So always check before you travel and book in advance where you can. And of course, remember to always follow the local guidance. By the way, something you can do no matter where you are in the country is Pumpkin Watch. It's a game we've made at Fun Kids. It's going to be taking over because trick-or-treating, you know, it's going to be a bit tricky this year, slash almost impossible. Our Pumpkin Watch game is happening this weekend, and Bex is here to tell us how to play.
So Pumpkin Watch is a way for us all to trick or treat safely this Halloween. Step one is you got to head to funkidslive.com/pumpkinwatch and download the free PDF pack. It's full, chock full, you might say, of tips and carving templates, and it explains the whole game. Basically, you carve a pumpkin or you draw one on a poster, then you stick it in your window. In the PDF pack, you can find some posters which will let other people know that you're playing the game. And then on Halloween, or whenever you usually go trick-or-treating, you head outside and you count how many pumpkins or posters that you can see in the neighbourhood. Don't worry, there is a sheet in the pack that can help you keep count as well. They don't have to be showing a Pumpkin Watch poster to count either, by the way, but if you see a poster, you'll know that person is also a Fun Kids listener and they're playing the game with you, and also they have exceptional radio taste. So count up how many pumpkins or posters you spot and then head to the Fun Kids website after Halloween and let us know. You'll be able to print out your own certificate and you'll enter a competition to win loads of spooky prizes too. The most important thing is that you tell everybody you know about Pumpkin Watch. It only works if there's loads and loads of pumpkins to count. So grab a grown-up and tell them about it right now. Don't worry, we will still be here when you get back. And ask them to post about Pumpkin Watch in any groups they might be part of too. The link to it is funkidslive.com/pumpkinwatch.
Thank you very much, Bex. So get everyone you know playing the game, grab a grown-up right now and tell them all about Pumpkin Watch. You can find out more at funkidslive.com/pumpkinwatch and let us know how you get on afterwards on the Fun Kids website too, and we'll read out the top scorers in a later episode. Right, it's time to get our wellies on and head down to the farm with Anna Louise, because she's got lots of rescue, rare breed and homebred animals at the newly renamed Mini Motley Sanctuary. Everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep, miniature chickens, hatching chicks. Anna Louise, what is happening today?
The sun is setting as I'm trekking across the fields doing the evening animal checks to make sure they're all okay and to make sure we've got our stock ready for autumn and winter, because you need to make sure you're prepared for when the weather gets cooler. When you've got lots of animals to care and look after, there's lots that you need on an animal sanctuary. And we have changed our name from Mini Motley Farm to Mini Motley Sanctuary, because that's what we are. That's the best description of what we do, because all of the animals, whether they're rescue, whether they're rare breed or miniature, they all have a home for life at Mini Motley Sanctuary. I'm just making my way to the gate. I've got my little rescue dog Ella by my side. She's a Labrador cross whippet and she loves coming out late at night to see what she can see and see what she can hunt. She also, her favourite thing to do is splash through the puddles, and she doesn't like to swim. She just likes to venture in up to her legs and up to her belly, but she doesn't like to get her back wet. I've made my way over to our hay store, our little hay barn, where we've got our winter hay all delivered and all stacked up high to the ceiling. And this is where we often find stray cats and little mice living. Who knows what's lurking beneath the hay bales? Lots of different animals like to nest and make their home in here because it's nice and cosy and warm. Just doing a quick hay count check, because we do need to get our deliveries in and make sure our stock is high. I can count 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. That should keep us going for a couple of months, but we will put in another call to make sure that the local farmer delivers his freshly cut hay to keep us going. This is what we feed the horses and the sheep. It keeps them warm. It makes sure that they have lots of vitamins and minerals that they can munch through to keep them healthy during these colder months. And it's also what we put in the chickens' sleeping quarters, where they snore at night, and in their nest boxes where they lay their eggs. And we also pop it in the bedrooms of the rabbits and guinea pigs so that they can dig under and burrow at night to keep them feeling secure and safe. We've also got our bins of feed. The other day, I drove my car up to the local feed store and I heaved the sacks onto my shoulders and I carried them through, and we keep them in stainless steel big bins so that the rats can't get in. Because that's another problem when you've got lots of pets and animals and livestock. You have to make sure you keep the rats at bay. And that's one way of keeping them out. They can't nibble or bite their way through the stainless steel bins. And last but not least, if you've got animals on an animal sanctuary, you need to have the right gear for winter. And my well is, as you can hear, I'm traipsing through the mud and it gets very boggy. It gets very boggy and very wet, and often I'll sink in all the way up to my legs. So you need to make sure you've got a nice, good, dry pair of wellies. And my boot, you can hear me at the minute, has got a big hole in it. So I've got wet feet, which is never good when you've got tasks and jobs to get done. So my wellies are ordered. I've got a big waterproof suit coming through the post, and that will keep me dry when I'm out feeding and looking after the animals in every weather. If we get sleet or snow, if we get ice, if we get storms or rain, I will be prepared to head out into the hail and make sure that the animals are all cared for. Because it's not just a job for summer or spring when it's lovely and warm and sunny. We have to go out in the coldest of temperatures to make sure the animals have clean water, food and fresh hay. And once we've done that, it's in for dinner and a nice hot cup of tea.
Thanks, Anna Louise. And that is all the time we've got for this week. Whatever you do, tell us at funkidslive.com/activityquest. And remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And most importantly, play Pumpkin Watch. funkidslive.com/pumpkinwatch is where you need to go to take part. I've been Sean. This has been a podcast from the UK children's radio station Fun Kids, and you can listen to my show on DAB Digital Radio online on the free Fun Kids mobile app and on your smart speaker. Just say play Fun Kids every weekday morning when you wake up. See you then. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.